Good morning and happy Sabbath. Praise the Lord that we can worship God in spirit and in truth. And as we have sought to try to maximize people's safety, we encourage people to stay home. But nonetheless, some didn't get the memo, and that's all right. And we are here, just a handful of us, to worship the Lord. Some of you are even watching from down in Myrtle Creek. We'd like to welcome you to our worship service as well. We look to be back to our regular pandemic normalness next week, which has become normal, but hopefully that soon will pass as well. But nonetheless, next Sabbath we will be live streaming our services, and Sabbath school will be continuing at 10 a.m. Elders meeting will be happening at 9:15. That's the time we set. 9:15, Sabbath mornings. And so those are some things that will be back to normal. This afternoon, normally there is a Bible study class that happens in the BLC. They are postponing for today. They will continue next week as well. Monday morning's Bible study will continue, I understand, as well as the prayer meetings will continue this week. But also mark on your calendars Sunday, September 20th, in which at 2 p.m. we will be having a business meeting. In that business meeting, we will be discussing our new budget for the year, as well as a matter of membership to discuss. The great bulk of our church is not here today, and I'd like to encourage us. This is a great time to reach out to our neighbors, those around them, just to say, hey, how are you? Are you okay? Is there anything you need? Just doing that, you'd be amazed the bridges that are built just by showing concern and compassion. And so I know the bulk of you are watching online. You can turn to the person next to you at home. You can turn to the person next to you here at church, and you can tell them, Happy Sabbath. We don't get to do this every day. Sabbath is just the seventh day of the week on Saturday. And so what a privilege to be able to worship God together on his holy Sabbath day. With that being said, let us bow our heads. Most loving and gracious Heavenly Father, you've drawn us together because you care about us so much. You have given us your only Son so that we may be able to come to you. And so we have reason to worship you because of your creative works. We have reason to worship you because of your salvific works. And we can't wait to worship you from Sabbath to Sabbath in heaven. And so on this Sabbath day, as we start our worship service, we invite your Holy Spirit to be present in this place. And may the name of Jesus be uplifted, and may we be further prepared to meet the King in all of his glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Our scripture this morning from Luke 3:16. If you want to follow along, I'm just reminding the pastor, if you want to look through various books of the Bible, there are some especially amazing things in other books of the Bible in chapter 3 and verse 16 also. And the most famous one, of course, is John 3:16. But in Luke 3:16, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Will you bow your heads with me as we pray? pray in your hearts. Father God, we come before you as children, recognizing our need, one as sinners, those who are so affected by the things that that come up in our hearts and the world we live in. Lord, we realize our ongoing need for forgiveness of sin. And Lord, we pray that you would do a mighty work in our hearts for us and contrary to the influences of sin and of the world. We see, especially in another way today, the work of the enemy that is going about to sow tares in the destructive fire and the weather patterns and the riots and the disease and all these things that are the work of the enemy that is sowing these tares. Lord, we pray that you would protect all who would be protected in your way. Give us grace for our great need. Lord, we recognize our missing of the Christian fellowship that we have been so dear to many of us. But Lord, through your Spirit, through your Word, through the incarnation of Jesus, we realize we do have fellowship with you. And as we all individually have fellowship with you, we are still united. Help us not to lose sight of that connection. And Lord, help us to realize as we are enduring in these little times of trouble that the way you lead us, the way you want to lead us if we're willing, that you will lead us through harder times that are certainly to come, because we know we have nothing to fear for the future, except we forget how you have led us and your teachings in our past history. Lord, we pray for especially for those among us that are hurting. We don't know who all right now might be suffering from the fire and the smoke, other things, and sickness. We have those that are still dealing with the healing process. We think of our sister Mary Ann, with David, with Bob, and be with their mates. We think of Kitty and Dwayne and Susan and Trey, those that have been so affected by things, Nina and Dennis. There's others, Lord, that we may not be aware of. Help us if we can lend an encouraging word or a helping hand that we can reach out. We pray now again that your Spirit would be present with each one, though we be separated from one another, that your Spirit can be with us, the precious gift that you have sent. Keep us now by your grace, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Almost forgot a couple things to mention. Did you know that ADRA is in Roseburg? Absolutely. It just has a different name, Adventist Community Services. And we praise the Lord for the work that is being done, that has been done for many, many years in our Roseburg community, and that goes forward even to this day. And so Rebecca wanted me to pass on that they are accepting, community services that is accepting clothes for the wildfire families. She's been in contact with the Red Cross, and clothes, the need for clothes is going forward. They have plenty of food, and they are sending people to the Salvation Army and Red Cross for clothes. So if you would like to donate clothes, please call Rebecca, or you can come on the 22nd or the 29th of this month that they'll be open. That would be the 22nd and the 29th. And they also need baby clothes. And so, and as you may have been preparing all week to give your tithes and offering, you can give that next week. You can set it aside and have it ready to go in your worship and gratitude to our great God. And so, with that being said, let us bow our heads. Most loving and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can worship you. We thank you that you give us reason to do that. We thank you that we are alive and that we have roofs over our heads. We thank you for those giving of themselves, even at this very moment, for our safety. Thank you. And we thank you because you want to do something in our lives today. So speak to us, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. No fires, more fire. If you were to look at the state of Oregon, it looks something like this. Something. I mean, you have the Archie Creek, Holiday Farm, Green Ridge, Beachy Creek, Lion's Head, P515, Rivers Head, White River, Mosier Creek, South Obenchain, the 242, the Frog Fire, the Laurel, Street Mountain, Meacham Complex, Echo Mountain Complex, Sweet Creek, Britain, and that's not even talking about what's happening over at Diamond Lake. Fires everywhere. And at least as of Thursday night, we were just a hair under 1 million acres of fire, or that had been burning or was burning. And it's interesting. Last week's stresses and problems kind of either took a back seat or disappeared altogether. Why? Fire. That's why. You can't fight with your spouse. Why? It's fire. You don't do what you normally you do that isn't right. Why? There's fire. You don't got time for that. We're praying like never before. Why? There's a fire. That's why. Very saddened about those who have lost everything. But I'm not sorry about the fruit of the fire. The fruit of the fire of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me, or at least on the screen. Our scripture reading was Luke 3:16. John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water. But one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. You see, the God that we have isn't one who's simply wanting us to bend our knees to pray. And that's very important. For a time, my great-grandma lived with us when we lived in New York, and it was a two-story home. She lived downstairs, and I remember coming downstairs, and she was on her knees praying, bless her heart. And she was kind of so mature that she'd pick up her head and realize that I was downstairs, and then I could hear her praying audibly, and she started all the way from the beginning. It wasn't as if she was praying continuously of where she had just stopped and picked up the rest of her prayers. God is wanting more than just the bending of knees. God is wanting the bending of our hearts. God is wanting the piercing of our pride and the submission to his will. And this might be something important. I mean, possibly, this could be of significance. Maybe, just maybe. Look at this. A revival of true godliness among us is the what? The greatest and most urgent of all our needs. To seek this should be what? Our first work. There must be earnest effort to obtain the blessing of the Lord, not because God is not willing to bestow his blessing upon us, but because we are unprepared to receive it. Our Heavenly Father is more willing to give his Holy Spirit to them that ask him than our earthly parents to give good gifts to their children. But it is our work by how? Confession, humiliation, repentance, and earnest prayer. To fulfill the condition upon which God has promised to grant us his blessing, a revival needs to be expected only in answer to prayer. While the people are so destitute of God's Holy Spirit, they cannot appreciate the preaching of the word. But when the Spirit's power touches their hearts, then the discourses given will not be without effect. When we hear the word of God preached, does it touch our hearts? Does it cause us to think? Does it bring us closer to the Lord? This is the work of the Holy Spirit. Bless you. The old standard bearers knew what it was to wrestle with God in prayer and to enjoy the outpouring of the Spirit, but these are passing off from the stage of action. And who are coming up to fill their places? How is it with the rising generation? That would be our generation. Are they converted to God? Are we awake to the work that is going on in the heavenly sanctuary? Or are we waiting for some compelling power to come upon the church before we shall arouse? Are we hoping to see the whole church revived? That time will never come. If we're waiting for the whole church to be revived, we're going to be waiting for a while. We are told that time will never come. So the question is, who's going to be revived? Because not everyone is going to be revived. Who's going to be revived? I want to be revived. How about you? Through the long years of drought and famine, Elijah prayed. He prayed earnestly that the hearts of Israel might be turned from idolatry to allegiance to God. Patiently, the prophet waited. While the hand of the Lord rested heavily on the stricken land, as he saw evidences of suffering and want multiplying on every side, his heart was wrung with sorrow, and he longed for power. For power to bring about a reformation quickly. But God himself was working out his plan. And all that his servant could do was to do what? Pray on in faith and wait. Await the time for decided action. Why don't we pray as we should? Better yet, why can't we pray as we should? I'll tell you why. We think we don't need to. Or maybe we're too busy talking to somebody else or busy doing something, somewhere, something else. The children of Israel had the same problem, you know. Elijah, he tells Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, this is 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except when? At my word. Why did God give Elijah these words to Ahab? Was it because Ahab was doing an amazing godly example before the people and the nation? Was it because the people were following and searching God with all of their hearts? No, that wasn't it. They had rebelled against God, and frankly, they as a people weren't too concerned about it. And here's a word to us leaders. Are we as leaders leading others under our care as close to Jesus as we can? Our job as leaders involves all the job descriptions, details, but if that's just all we do, we're missing something. Because there's souls of whom we get to work with that includes leading them closer to Jesus. Amen? Why did they need the rain back in Ahab and Elijah's day? I'll tell you why they needed the rain. It was a little dry. Not just a little dry, it hadn't rained after that conversation between Ahab and Elijah. It hadn't rained for 3.5 years. And guess what? The children of Israel, they think it's okay. Everything's dry like a bone, and they're like, oh, nothing's wrong. Why wasn't it okay? For starters, if there's no rain, that also means there's no food. And if you ask me, I reckon that's very, very high on the priority list. But it's deeper than that. We think we can outsmart God. We think God doesn't see our lives and doesn't see what we do. Guess what? He sees each and every one of us. Isn't that what Hagar came to experience as she was waiting to die? God is the one who sees. Why does he see everything? Because he loves us. That's why. And the drought is God's response to where they were, and maybe sometimes we are at as well. Look at what the Bible says. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. These are the things that God brings upon who? The Bible says, my people. Are we facing these things today? I reckon we are. What does that mean? God is trying to get our attention, church family. And it's just a shame that we can't do anything about it, huh? Maybe absolutely nothing. You mean there is something we can do about it? Please remind me what we can do. The very next verse says, if my people who were called by my name will humble themselves and do what? Pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. What we can do is humble ourselves. What we can do is pray. What we can do is seek his face. What we can do is turn from our wicked ways. So they needed rain. Could we be needing rain today? I think so. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will do what? He's not listening. He's not going to hear. That's why what we read in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, unless those things happen, God's not going to listen. And last time I checked, we're not needing a little bit of rain. The whole West Coast is needing a whole bunch of rain. Amen? If we regard iniquity in our hearts, if we cling to any known sin, the Lord will not hear us. But the prayer of the penitent, contrite soul is always accepted. Hallelujah. When all known wrongs are righted, we may believe that God will answer our petitions. Our own merit will never commend us to the favor of God. It is the worthiness of Jesus that will save us. His blood that will cleanse us. Yet we have a work to do in complying with the conditions of acceptance. God knows exactly what to do. God knows exactly what to allow to come into your life and into my life so that we may finally pray. But Pastor, you've been preaching about prayer for the last 4 years. Yeah, you got that right. Well, guess what? We still don't get it. Don't get what, Pastor? We don't understand the change that God's sweet spirit wants to do in your life and in mine. We still got an attitude that's unconverted by God's Holy Spirit. We're still bent on us rather than being bent on saving the lost. The forecast says we're going to be getting a little bit of rain on Tuesday, but guess what? A little bit and on Tuesday is not enough. Tuesday is too far away. Can we do something? I mean, maybe we can tell the weatherman to speed it up or something. Maybe, just maybe, there is someone who's in charge of the weather. Maybe God can do something about it. The Israelites thought that they needed water, but they didn't need water. I know the picture on the screen looks a bit dry, but they didn't need water. They needed God. They needed the one who not only gives the physical water, but the one who gives the living water. They not only needed God, they needed fire. Well, that doesn't make sense, Pastor. Who would need fire in the midst of a drought? I mean, if you're in a drought, you need water. Yeah. We're trying to get rid of fires today. But if we ask for fire in the midst of fire season, we may just end up getting burned up, you can reason. We may just end up losing everything. Let me tell you, unless we got Jesus, we ain't got a thing. If we were to lose everything that we have on the face of this earth and still had Jesus, then I reckon we got everything. Amen. And the Bible says that Jesus would baptize us with what? He would baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So how does that happen? Where does that happen? When does it happen? And for that answer, we need to get a little dangerous. This next Bible verse that we're going to take a look at is very dangerous if you ask me. 1 Kings 18, verse 1. Let's turn there. And I know you're busy looking this verse up, whether here or at home, because for some reason we like danger. That's all right. As long as you're in the Bible, that's a great thing. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, after many days, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go. Show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." Let's rewind a little bit. Elijah tells Ahab, no rain until I say so. And this ends up lasting 3.5 years at this juncture. So if Ahab was mad at Elijah when he first said these words, Imagine letting those words simmer for 3.5 years. Let's just say that Elijah was dead man walking. God then in this verse tells Elijah to do what? Go see who? I mean, the last person that Elijah would want to have seen at any time on the face of the planet was Ahab. Not just because he didn't want to see him, but it was more like Elijah wanted to still be alive. What did God tell Elijah? The Bible says, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will make rain upon the earth. God tells him to do that, and now Elijah has a problem. Either Elijah listens to the word of the Lord and obeys by faith, or the protection and the blessing that God had for Elijah starts disappearing. Let me tell you, it takes great faith to stand up to your killer. And I've got news for you and I today. If Elijah doesn't go to Ahab, God could not have used Elijah. And that's not the only person God wants to use today. He wants to use you. He wants to use me. But unless we stand on his word and trust him obediently, it will never happen. Acts 5:32 says, and we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who do what? Who obey him. Elijah may have thought that the Israelites were the ones who had issues with faith, as faith without works is dead. But guess who else had to exhibit faith? Elijah. Why would Elijah need to be faithfully obedient? Because it's bigger than Elijah. If Elijah doesn't go to Ahab, who doesn't get rain? The people don't. The nation doesn't. Why wouldn't we need to be faithfully obedient to God? Because if not, then they don't get the rain. The rain that they and we so desperately need. So Elijah shows up to Ahab, and it rained, and they all lived happily ever after, the end. Is that how the story goes? We see a gentleman come into the story by the name of Obadiah. He's one of Ahab's servants, a God-fearing man. It's not only a time of drought, but now it's also a time of famine, and they're looking for grass in the field, him and Ahab. And Ahab goes one way, Obadiah goes the other way, and Obadiah runs into guess who? Elijah. Elijah tells him to give Ahab the message that he's there. And now Obadiah is shaking in his boots because when Ahab finds out that he knows where Elijah is at, that means Obadiah had not done his job, which guess who else is now dead man walking? Obadiah. Elijah tells him, relax, man. I'll see Ahab today. Elijah indeed meets up with Ahab, and Ahab has the audacity to try to blame the drought and the famine on Elijah, the supposed troubler of Israel. And Elijah says this, and he answered 1 Kings 18:18 and 19, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals. Now therefore, send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. What is he telling Ahab? The showdown is on. What was Elijah basically asking for? A war that looked something like this. 850 to 1. In our human estimation, we could think that Elijah was a little outnumbered, that Elijah was about to get extremely embarrassed, that Elijah was about to get himself killed. I would reckon it'd be the other way around. Why? We can't see God's army. We can't see the angelic host right here, right now. We can't see what God is doing. It doesn't matter what you're facing right now. God goes ahead of you. He's with you, and he's preparing the way, not for defeat, but for victory. Elijah. When I think of Elijah at this moment in his life, it makes me think of this quote. The greatest want of the world is the want of men. Men who will not be bought or sold. Men who in their inmost souls are true and honest. Men who do not fear to call sin by its right name. Men whose conscience is as true to duty as the needle to the pole. Men who will stand for the right though the heavens fall. This is what Elijah proceeds to do. And what's the issue? Elijah cuts right to the chase and goes to the heart of the matter. Here's the issue. And Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people answered him what? Not a word. Almost seemed like they were in a little bit of a dilemma. Like they weren't sure what they were going to do. If they were going to go this way or that way. Which makes me wonder, when are we going to make up our minds? In the valley of decision. And you know, we too are between two gods. But as we continue in this story, there's only one true God. But before leaving this verse, what did the people say when they were asked about this decision? If the Lord is God, follow him, and if Baal, then follow him. What was their answer? Can you hear it? Yeah, crickets. That's what their answer was. In other words, not only were they serving two masters, they had no plans to stop anytime soon. Could we be serving two masters today? And if so, do we have any plans to stop anytime soon? 1 Kings 18:20-29. Everybody shows up on Mount Carmel. The 450 prophets of Baal, all the Israelites, King Ahab and Elijah. Elijah tells the prophets of Baal, we'll have two altars, two bulls, two sacrifices. We'll both pray. And then the God who answers by fire, that's the true God. So let's think about that for a second. They both went to church. They both had a sacrifice. They both even prayed. The prophets of Baal prayed. In fact, the whole day from morning to the evening sacrifice. But only one was to have fire. Without the fire, the sacrifice is not acceptable. It's kind of like putting a piece of uncooked meat on the grill. Who's going to eat that? It requires fire. It needs to be cooked. Or else, like Isaiah and us as well, we are undone. Some of us would like to think that all we need is the sacrifice of Jesus, and that is something we do need. And that's all that needs to happen in our lives. If that's what we think, we're mistaken. If there's no fire, nothing's happening. Without fire, there's no movement. Without fire, there's no change. Without fire, there's no power. And I don't know about you, but I want this power. How about you? We kind of know what happens next, and we'll get into that in just a moment. But how did Elijah get this fire? Did he go to Oregon? Because there's tons of fire in Oregon right now. Did he become some pyromaniac? What did Elijah do? The Bible says, "Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God." What did Elijah do? He prayed. That's what he did. Prayer is the match that ignites the fire. No match, no fire. No prayer, no fire. An issue, a battle between the gods. How many prophets of Baal were there? 450. But weren't there some 400 other prophets that were eating at Jezebel's table? Yeah. They were the prophets of Asherah. Who was Asherah? Another so-called god. Although the main showdown was on Mount Carmel, it was between the prophets of Baal and the prophet of God. We too, sometimes like them, not only have one false god, but we may have several false gods. The Bible says, some very loving words, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." Why is he a jealous God? Because he loves you. That's why he's a jealous God. He saved you at the cross. "Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing what? Mercy to a few? To thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments." My question, church family, could we have a false god in our lives today? Who do we give our devotion to? Who do we give our time to? What can't we wait to do? If it's not time with God, then we might be having another god in our lives. And in some cases, it's plural. It's not just another god. It's gods in our lives. When we have a God who has died to save us and he wants to be with us, I want to be with the only true God. How about you? The Bible says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." But let's get back to Elijah. In verse 30, there's a beautiful detail that we could miss that is also part of how we get the fire. I don't know if you got it. Elijah said unto all the people, "Come near unto me." You want the fire? Come close to God's people. Isn't it interesting that when maybe we miss like a week or two, that maybe our fire gets a little dim? You want the fire? Be at church. You want the fire? Be at prayer meeting. You want the fire? Be at Bible study. You want the fire? You be with God's people. Or it's kind of like that banana you pull off from the bunch. The rest of the bunch continues its normal maturation process, but that one that you pulled, it starts to decay quickly. Closeness, togetherness, unity is a time when everything seems to be pulling us apart. Wow. The Bible says, "Come near to me." And I don't know about you, but I believe all of us need to come closer to the Lord. And I also believe that all of us need to come closer to each other. Elijah repairs the altar of the Lord. He rebuilds it, the Bible says, the right way. It was orderly, and he included everyone by having a stone representing each tribe on the altar, as well as the covenant that God had made. And God reminds the people who they are. What are they? Princes, not slaves. Slaves are in Egypt. Slaves have other gods. The true God makes you a prince, and the true God makes you a princess. Amen? Elijah, he gets the wood orderly. He cuts up the bull, places the bull on the altar. He has a trench dug around the altar and has water doused on the bull and on the wood. How many times? Three times. Maybe each representing, possibly, each person of the Godhead. We are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The water not only saturated the bull, the water saturates the wood, and it filled the trench. And now the preparation work was done. It was now time for God to act. Let's continue. Verse 36 and on. Elijah prays near the people, a praying people. He recognizes God Almighty in the past and asks him to show his power when? Today. It's not a time to just reflect on what God has done in yesteryear. It's a time to expect what God is going to do today. I don't know about you. Are you needing God to do something today? Well, guess what? When we do 2 Chronicles 7:14, God is going to show up in a mighty big way. And Elijah does this by asking God to recognize the fact that Elijah has been faithful to our faithful God. Elijah wasn't doing what he was doing because he was shooting from the hip. Elijah wasn't making these things up. He was acting according to God's word. And when we do this, God answers. And I'd like to say that the greatest thing occurred on that day in that place wasn't necessarily fire coming down from heaven. As important as amazing that was. What was it that God did in the people's hearts? The hearts had been turned back to God. I wonder if that's something that God is still wanting to do today. I wonder if that's something that God is still trying to do before Jesus comes back. In fact, Malachi says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." And he will do what? Turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. When we allow God to turn our hearts back to him, God also works to bring unity in our home. When we turn our hearts to God, God brings unity in our church. When we allow God to turn our hearts, we now have a passion for the lost. The greatest manifestation that God can do in showing his power is in the life that is changed by the Spirit of God. That's power. In verse 38 and on, we see God answer. Fire comes down from heaven and not only consumes the sacrifice, it consumes the wood, it dries up all the water in the trench, and God's Holy Spirit wants to consume everything in your life. He wants to get into every facet of your being. In every thought of your mind, in every decision, and in every corner of our hearts. The people, they see the fire and they fall on their faces and they say what? The Lord, He is God. You see, fire comes down when we come to the cross and I'm consumed. When I'm finally out of the way and God can work, I have a hunch that maybe this week the Holy Spirit spoke to you. And He said, this is a better way. Or maybe He said, you've gone that route before. It's not gone too good that way. Are you willing? And maybe in some cases we listened, and maybe in other cases we didn't. Today, we can listen. When fire comes down, we finally fall on our faces and say, He is Lord. Here is the truth of the matter. If there's no prayer, there's no fire. If there's no fire, pride prevails, because why would I need to pray? I pray because I need God. How about you? And if pride is prevailing, then guess what? I may just have other gods. And speaking about other gods, Elijah knew when was the time to get rid of these false prophets. When was that time? Or better yet, when is the time to get rid of our false prophets, of our false gods? Now, if God has manifested Himself in your life, if He's talking to you right now, why hold on to your gods? Jesus said, what you're going to do, do it quickly. Elijah didn't send these prophets off of the mountain or through the valley and through the trees. He didn't put these prophets where nobody can see them. Nobody will know. He has them killed. And church family, our other gods either die or they kill us. Verse 41 and on. Stay with me. We're about to put the cherry on top. Elijah tells Ahab to eat and drink, because what is going to happen? It's going to rain. And church family, it's going to rain. It's going to rain in our church. How do I know? I've been praying for it, and you've been praying for it. We've been praying for it, and we're making our minds up about putting our other gods out of our lives and confessing and repenting our sins. And we may just be praying, not less, but maybe praying more. Oh, it's going to rain. And it's not going to rain a little bit. It's going to rain so much that your spouse can feel it. It's going to rain so much that your children can sense it. It's going to rain so much that your neighbors will want it. Sound of what? Sound of abundance of rain. It's coming. Get ready. What does Elijah do? And this is a huge lesson. He stays with God. I mean, a huge showdown just happened on Mount Carmel. An incredible manifestation of the power of God. And Elijah could have thought, okay, I'll see you next Sabbath. And go home. Not Elijah. He stays with God and does what? He bows to the ground and puts his head between his knees. And what does he do? He prays more. He prays again. Kind of like praying without, what's that term? Ceasing. But I thought the need to pray was over. The fire came. Why pray some more? The war was over. The prophets are dead, the false prophets. What's the big deal, Elijah? The big deal is that there may have been fire, but there still wasn't any rain. What was Elijah doing to not only get the fire, but to get the rain? He was praying. You see, prayer equals fire. Prayer equals rain. I don't know about you. I want the fire and I want the rain. How about you? He's praying for rain. The rain that would heal the land, but also the rain that would revive and transform God's people. He prays a little bit. He prayed and prayed and asked his servant 7 times because he would continue praying after every question. If there was something in the sky, and on that 7th time that he asked his servant, the servant sees a small black cloud coming from the east, about the size of a man's hand. What was God telling Elijah about? God was telling Elijah about the second coming of Christ. We are counseled that a time very soon, we too will see a small black cloud coming from the east, about the size of a man's hand. Why is this important? Everybody's talking about 2020. What year it's been, what it continues to be. This happened 2020. That happened in 2020. And nobody's talking about the fact that Jesus is coming soon. Guess what? Jesus is coming soon. My question is, who's going to talk about this? I was talking with my best friend recently, last night specifically, and he was asking me about how we were doing in relation to the fires. And I was giving him some details about the weather and the smoke and all that good stuff. And then the Lord rebuked me. I woke up this morning, and the Lord said, anybody can do that. Anybody can be a weatherman. What about Jesus' second coming? Are you going to tell him about Jesus' second coming? And so I had to text him this morning. I said, you know what I was telling you last time about the things that would happen before Jesus' second coming? Well, these events are tied to that. And guess what? His coming is soon. What God has promised, he will fulfill. Have you made your heart right with God? Why not do so today? Don't let the fire pass you by. Elijah tells his servant to get his chariot ready and to go give a message to Ahab before it starts to rain. And like the servant, we have been commissioned to give a message to those who don't know God before the storms really break loose, of which what we are seeing right now is just the tip of the iceberg. The storm clouds did come in Elijah's day as God had promised, and it's raining, and Elijah, who had spent extra time with God praying. Elijah, who not only prayed once, but 7 times. Elijah, who tells his servant to go take the chariot to go see Ahab. Elijah now goes supersonic as he picks up his loins and starts running. And he starts running with supernatural power. You see, the distance was too short for Elijah. There wasn't enough horsepower in those chariots for Elijah. Why? Because he was filled with power on high. And my Bible says that when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be filled with power. Have you been filled with power yet? And if you have you been filled with power today? Every day is a day to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Elijah, where was he trying to get to anyway? Jezreel. He was trying to get home. Maybe we too need the power of the Holy Spirit in order to get home. Maybe we need the power of the Holy Spirit in order to be able to fulfill his mission given to us before the storm clouds come that have been predicted and will indeed arrive. John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. John the Baptist, during the days of Christ, was Elijah in that time. And the Bible says that there is still another Elijah to welcome and usher in Christ's second coming. Will you be part of the final Elijah who's not only filled with the Holy Spirit and fire, but is used by God to tell the world of our soon coming Savior? If that's the case, then it's time to put ourselves in a position so that God can hear our prayers. It's a time to confess to God our sins and repent and pray as we never prayed before. Praying for what, Pastor? Praying that the fire cease on the West Coast. Praying for our firefighters and first responders. Praying for our evacuees, praying for those who have lost their homes, praying for the sweet Holy Spirit in our lives so that we may only have one God, the true God. Praying for the Holy Spirit to inspire me to spend more time with God in his holy word. Last night before I went to bed, I said, Lord, whatever time you want to wake me up, have at it. It was 3:33 this morning. I was spending time with the Lord this morning. He impressed me to move the semicolon in that numeric figure. The 33:3, Jeremiah. Call unto me, and I will show you things you do not know. I believe God shows us those things in his word through his Spirit. Praying that he revive you and revive me. Praying that we will be imbued with his Spirit to testify of his loving truth. Praying that we ever come together in our own homes. Praying that we come closer as a church family. Praying that there be no division in our church family. Praying that God's Spirit turn our hearts today. I don't want any more fires. I want more fire. How about you? The hymn writer says, there shall be showers of blessings. This is the promise of God. May we take God at his word. May we seek him and be filled with his Spirit today as soon Jesus will come. If that is your desire, I'd like to invite you to stand right where you are. because you realize you want to be baptized by the Holy Spirit and with fire. Praise the Lord. At home, make your mind up. Is it the true God or is it these gods? Today, he wants to be our God. Father, thank you, because even this very day, you want to baptize us anew with your Spirit. You want to give us that fire. You want to give us that power that we don't have in and of ourselves. Oh God, touch our hearts. Rebuke our hearts. And may we say, Lord, have thine own way. I'm tired of being at the reins of my life. I want you to have full sway, O Lord. There's more that you want to do in our lives. There's more that you want to do in our church. And there is so much more you want to do in this community. Father, as you send the fire, send the rain. And may we grow and move with you this day. Forgive us for our sins. And lead us unto repentance. And may we be ready for that little black cloud coming from us about the size of a